Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, July 27, 2020. Taylor Schwenk is producing today. And where are you, Taylor? You always seem to be moving around to these really cool spots.
I'm down in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Nice spot here with two other couples, along with my wife. And yeah, just enjoying a little time at the beach, not doing anything really, just hanging in the house. Obviously, I'm able to work remotely, which is a minor upside to this whole pandemic thing. So yeah, I'll work on the show, knock out a couple other ones, and hit the beach later on the evening, and I'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday just to hang. So a little summer vacation. Yeah.
Look at you. It's like every other, you're like Josh Macri used to be. It seemed like every other week Josh is going on vacation. You're starting to turn into that guy.
You know what? You're going to kill me because in addition to that, I have a day off next week and a day off the week after that. After that, we'll be clear, but I didn't go on vacation for the first like 8 months I worked at the company. So I guess I got to kind of cash them in now.
Well, you're in a position to watch baseball, but here's the thing. Baseball in 2020, you can't separate baseball from the coronavirus, and we really got, I think, our first strong feel of that on Sunday, what's going on with the Miami Marlins. Jose Urania was scheduled to start Sunday's game against the Phillies, but he was a late scratch. Miami was also without the services of catcher Jorge Alfaro, who was placed on the IL before the opener Friday, as well as infielder Garrett Cooper, outfielder Harold Ramirez. ESPN confirmed that on Sunday. And as we tape this morning, a lot of concerns about the Marlins and what's going to happen with them and whether or not other players are going to test positive. In the midst of all that on Sunday, Don Mattingly talked about the situation.
Well, I mean, they can obviously refuse not to play, right? When you don't want to. I guess everybody could opt out today. But again, you know, I think we're going, getting down the road, but I think there are discussions. I think it's fair to say that guys are concerned, right, about things, and that they want their feelings as part of how they're feeling about it, situations, to be heard. And I think it's fair. We're talking about health. We're talking about these guys traveling back to their homes and their families and their kids, and it's the reason we want to be safe. So, you know, they got a voice and they get a voice, and we're definitely going to listen and to what's going on with them.
The Marlins are scheduled to play the Baltimore Orioles in Miami tonight, but they canceled their travel yesterday back to Miami as they settled the situation. And as we tape the podcast, their plane has not taken off, and we'll see what happens. Tim Kirkchin and I are going to talk about all this and about what should happen on the part of Major League Baseball and the Players Association. The Cincinnati Reds also have concerns. Mike Moustakas felt sick yesterday, was taken out of the lineup. Nick Senzel also not available, so there are concerns about the Reds. Red Sox ace pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez is awaiting heart test results. He tested positive for COVID-19 recently, but was cleared and returned to workouts on July 18th. He hasn't had another positive coronavirus test, but said an MRI revealed a condition related to his heart, and that's going to affect his availability, of course, for the Red Sox moving forward. Toronto won't play its first home game in Buffalo until August 11th. They're trying to renovate the minor league park in Buffalo to make it up to par for the Blue Jays to play there. Astros ace Justin Verlander has an elbow strain. The Houston Chronicle cited two sources on Sunday as saying Verlander is out for the year. Dusty Baker, though, told reporters that Verlander has a forearm strain and didn't go so far as to say he's going to be missing the rest of the season.
Well, you know, we know it's a forearm strain, and, you know, he's being seen by the doctor, so he'll probably be shut down for a couple of weeks, and then we'll see from there.
Will he pitch for you this season?
Well, like I said, I just said he's shut down for a couple of weeks, you know, and then we'll, you know, reevaluate it from there. We don't know.
When did it happen?
It happened yesterday, you know, early in the game, but he said he felt fine. And you see he was throwing the ball great yesterday, and it was kind of a shock to all of us.
As we'll talk about with Tim, there's no such thing as a minor injury in 2020. Verlander tweeted out, "The report that I'm currently missing the rest of the season is not accurate. There is a forearm strain. I'm hopeful that with some rest, it will heal, and I'll be able to return soon. Thank you for all the well wishes." Ken Giles of the Blue Jays came out of the Jays game on Sunday with an elbow issue. He's going to get an MRI today. A lot of red flags around that. The Rangers' Corey Kluber exited after one inning with shoulder tightness. And for someone with all the mileage that he's had, that's a concern for the Rangers as they move forward. On the other hand, the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw, optimistic about a quick return from a back injury. We were on a Zoom call before Sunday Night Baseball's game last night between the Giants and Dodgers. And Dave Roberts told us that, their hope is, the anticipation is that Kershaw will be back very quickly. Here's some of what we saw over the weekend. The Twins and the White Sox on Sunday. And, man, Nelson Cruz is off to a fast start.
And the pitch, a swing and a rocket to left, deep down the line towards the corner. Back and gone. Nelson Cruz just owns the White Sox as a Twin. He has 4 hits today, 2 home runs. He has knocked in 7 runs against the White Sox today, and the Twins have a 13-2 lead.
Corey Provis on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Rockies and Rangers, and Trevor Story had himself a day.
The 1-0 by Goody, who we saw yesterday, and Trevor crushes this one. Going back, Solak, to watch it rattle in the seats here at Globe Life Field. Touch 'em all time for Trevor Story, his second homer of the day. And the Rockies lead it 4-2.
850 KOA. The Rays walked it off against the Blue Jays.
He swings and lines one down the right field line for a base hit. All the way to the corner. Rounding third is Smith. He scores the tying run. Martinez to third, being waved. He's on his way. Digging for the plate. The throw. Not in time. Rays win.
The Phillies lost yesterday. Bryce Harper spoke with the reporters about concerns following all the positive tests that we've seen in the Miami Marlins group.
I thought we were all, ready to go, ready to play. We weren't really too worried about it. Like I said, we do a great job of a clubhouse and as an organization, really following protocols and doing things the right way. Not really getting close to guys. Of course, first base and, when you're in the batter's box, you're going to be the closest to, the other players and things like that. But, I think we do a good job as a club, understanding that we need to stay away and, wear masks when we need to. And, hopefully we can all stay healthy and, odds will be in our favor.
Before we get to Tim Kirkjian and to Sarah Langs, today on ESPN Daily, the NFL is moving forward with a 2020 season and training camps open this week. Dan Graziano explains how the league and players reached an agreement and breaks down the latest NFL news. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Seam heads rejoice.
Nerd alert!
It's Timmy time.
Is this a great game or what?
With Tim Kirkjian on Baseball Tonight.
And Tim Kirkjian covers baseball for ESPN. And Tim, I say it all the time on social media, in 2020, if you're covering baseball, you cannot separate it from coronavirus. And that's what we saw on Sunday, this developing situation with the Marlins. We don't know yet exactly how many other players might test positive. But it is in this first weekend, Tim, it illuminates all of the concerns people around baseball have had with the Marlins having players taken off the field on Sunday and now awaiting results about what's going to happen with them today.
Yeah, and again, Buster, this was all of our worries is, A, are we going to start the season? And then what happens if we start the season and a bunch of guys test positive, including a bunch of guys from one team? So yesterday with the Marlins was a very bad day and a big red flag for the game. And I'm just a little bit concerned that with all the money that is to be made, especially in October, that we're not going to be as responsible as we should be. And if things get worse and worse and worse for a team or several teams, at some point we're going to have to look at this and say, are we really supposed to finish this season? And yet baseball has every desire to finish the season, as it should. I just hope we're being as cautious as possible with this, because we opened a season during a pandemic. I just hope we don't try to close a season if common sense says we can't go any further here.
And Tim, I really feel like that the responsibility today of those conversations falls with Rob Manfred and Tony Clark. You know, this was a mutual decision by Major League Baseball and the Player Association to try to play this season. You know, both sides have financial incentive to do that. But I think they need to be in constant conversation. I think Tony Clark has a responsibility to the players to do the right thing. And here's the other thing, too, I thought about over the weekend, Tim. You know, we last Thursday, just in the last hours before the first pitch was thrown, the two sides threw together this, plan for 16 teams in the playoffs. The more that you're sort of watching this play out, it reminds me of a backyard game that I would play with friends, you know, like a wiffle ball game where you'd say, okay, if the ball hits up on the tin, then it's a home run. If it hits up on the tin of the barn, if it hits on the tarp on the lower section, it's a double. And you kind of make it up as you go along. And I think in some respects, they should take advantage of that flexibility. If that means today, and I get the fact that they have the schedule and they are trying to, you know, play every game for the 60 games each team is scheduled to play. But if today the best thing is to postpone or to pause or to cancel to help the Marlins situation, to get them back in order, then do it. I mean, you know, and if it means that some teams are going to play 50 games and some teams are going to play 45 games and some teams are going to play 58 and some teams are going to play 60, do it. The first and foremost responsibility in my mind is they have to do what they can to keep the players and the staffers healthy.
Yeah, I totally agree, Buster. And if it gets worse and worse for one team, it's going to affect everyone else. But no one is going to be able to say, hey, we didn't get our fair shake. We didn't get our games against the Marlins, wherever you want to put it. These are extraordinary circumstances. This has already been the strangest season we've ever seen. It will only get stranger and more bizarre from here and potentially more dangerous from here. So I'm with you. Health and safety protocols obviously are going to have to come first. And you know this, Buster, from knowing players. They're going like the Cubs are going to Cincinnati for the first time, and Anthony Rizzo's a little cautious about it. It's nothing to do with Cincinnati. It's just they're leaving their little bubble for the first time. And how many other teams are going to feel uncomfortable moving around now to new places with new safety and health protocols? This is a very, very complicated situation. And I hope Rob and Tony are talking virtually every day about this. What are we doing? Are we doing the right thing?
Yeah, a week ago today, I was communicating with a major league manager and I asked him how he's feeling about things. He said, you know, our guys have done a really good job in summer camp and they're following the health and safety protocol. And then there was a pause and he said, but we haven't started traveling yet. That is the great unknown. You know, all the potential risks and, you know, the potential issues really will pop up once they're on the road. And I got to say, I don't know for you, but I have a difficult time sort of trying to balance between, talking about the baseball and talking about coronavirus and talking about, things as if there's an equivalency to them. Like, I really struggle with that. You know, we just talked about the Marlins and wondering how many of their players are going to be sick and are they going to be okay. And so in transitioning to talk about Justin Verlander with a baseball injury, just is unusual. And I do struggle trying to find the right balance.
Yeah, I do too, Buster. I mean, just look at what, for instance, Nelson Cruz has done to start this season. Normally, that would be what we would lead with. That would be my favorite thing to talk about. But it's hard to talk about a 40-year-old getting four RBIs and four extra base hits in a game, which has never been done, as opposed to what happened to the Marlins yesterday. You have to stack one above the other, and that's what I'm having trouble with. I read the box scores religiously. I have since I was five, and I love it still, but it's still not the same when you know that there's such a bigger issue going on around whether so-and-so got three hits last night.
Yeah, 100%. All right, and I am going to get to some things that happened over the weekend, like Nelson Cruz. Justin Verlander, yesterday, we get word, Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle reported that two sources told him that Verlander's out for the year. Dusty Baker followed by saying, well, no, we're shutting him down for 2 weeks. Justin Verlander said the report wasn't accurate. All signs seem to be pointing to the tread on the tire finally taking a toll on Justin Verlander. Yeah, he's thrown over 3,000 innings in his career in the regular season and the postseason, Tim.
Right, and a power pitcher and a max effort pitcher and 3,000 innings. Oh, boy, that's a red flag to begin with. Now, he is so big and so strong, durable, competitive. He's never really hurt his arm. So we really need to give him the benefit of the doubt that he is going to figure this out. But forearm just screams elbow and other things. So I think a minimum of 2 weeks, see how he feels, and then go from there. But, you know, in this strange season, if this is going to affect him at age 37 for the last 3 years of his career or so, he's got to be smart about this and say, all right, I got to shut this down, get ready for 2021. We'll see if that happens. Let's hope it doesn't, because, again, he is a tough guy who loves to compete.
Yeah, in 2020, there's no such thing as a minor injury in a 60-game season, right? So, you know, Verlander and the Astros are saying, well, we're just going to shut him down for 2 weeks, and then we'll see where he is. The way this typically works, Tim, and you know better than anybody, is they'll wait for the inflammation to go down, and then he'll try to play catch, and then he'll see where he goes from there. He'll build up his arm strength again. If he's going to be available this year, it would seem to be only in a smaller role, maybe as a reliever or starter, goes two or three innings at the end of the regular season, the postseason. There's just not time left in the calendar for him to come back anything close to being a full-time starter.
Yeah, I mean, if he just rests it and does nothing for 2 weeks, and then it takes him 2 weeks to get ready to pitch in a major league game, he's missed half the season. And then when you miss half the season, you really have to examine, am I going to be 100% for October? So this is where, you're right, everything changes with an IL stint now, because it's different than it was for 162.
Yeah, we saw it with Corey Kluber. Came out of his start on Sunday with a shoulder issue. Steven Strasburg, Tim, actually gave voice to the thing that you were talking about, which was interesting. He, you know, he's got some sort of a nerve issue in his wrist. He wasn't specific about, you know, what sort of medication he's taken, but he mentioned that, you know, he doesn't want to mess up 2021. I've heard that from managers and pitching coaches that, you know, while this is going on and they're trying to do the best they can in 2020, they also are thinking big picture and don't want to screw up next year.
Right. And that's the danger, Buster. This whole situation is not just this year. It's next year and conceivably the year after that. And players, managers, everyone has to be cognizant of that.
All right. What are some of the cool things besides Nelson Cruz that you saw in baseball over the weekend?
Well, Daniel Bard pitched, Buster, for the first time since April 27, 2013. Carlos Pena and Rick Ankiel were active in that game, the last time he pitched. Over 1,000 pitchers have pitched in a major league game since Daniel Bard last did. And then he goes out and gets a win. 25 pitches, 20 strikes. This is the guy who had the yips a few years ago and tried to get through it and couldn't, and now seemingly at least has. That was pretty cool. G-Man Choi had a home run right-handed yesterday, Buster. First at plate appearance in his major league career as a right-handed hitter, he had a home run. I mean, that only happens, stuff like that in baseball. There were many other crazy things that happened. Again, Nelson Cruz four RBIs, four extra base hits, only 40-year-old ever to do that since RBIs were official. And Edwin Encarnacion had a home run. So now he's got the most ever by anyone whose last name starts with an E. Those are the things I pay attention to, even during a COVID situation.
Daniel Bard, I just want to double back on that. He, of course, last pitched in 2013. In 2011, he was one of the best relievers in baseball. And then, as you said, he developed the yips. There was a great story. I think it may have been by June Lee or another reporter who mentioned that in 2013, when Bard's career was really unraveling, at one point he sat down on his computer and Googled the question of how do pitchers overcome the yips. That's where he was in his career. And, Tim, that almost never happens, that pitchers can overcome the yips. You just don't see it. Sometimes we see catchers, develop that little issue they have, throwing the ball back to the pitcher. Mackie Sasser was an example of that. Sometimes infield, I covered Chuck Knobloch, and there was a slow erosion there. It went over 3 years before he just couldn't play the infield. But you do not see pitchers come back from that issue. And yet here Daniel Bard is 7 years later at age 35. As Bud Black said, when he got that his first inning under his belt and he walked off the mound, he looked at Bud Black and said, "That was fun."
Well, it sure was. I mean, you're right. Steve Blass, Rex Barney, a bunch of other pitchers who never got through it eventually. And for him to get over it, even for a short time, I mean, Ricky Yankee elected become a position player. He couldn't get over it. And that's why that was such a great story. Not because he was so, so good at one point of his career, but he had fallen so far and picked himself back up.
So I talked with a manager yesterday who told me flat out, because he's been watching games like we've all been watching games, he said, there's no question right now the Yankees are the best team. And I think part of the reason he feels that way is because of Giancarlo Stanton and how great he looks. That weight that he lost, during the shutdown, he looks like he's ready to go right back to being one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, he was too bulky, Buster, and you know I have the same problem. By the way, that was a joke. He looks trimmer, more streamlined, and in baseball, as we know, sometimes you can get too big. Ruben Sierra got a little too big at times. And Stanton looks big and strong and athletic as he always does, but he looks different to me, and it has showed, and it sure hasn't taken away from his power, because the ball he hit off Scherzer was a joke, but the one he hit the next day was even better and farther. It was ridiculous. And Buster, he played 18 games last year and they hit 300 homers. I mean, what if he's back completely? What if he's the guy who hit 59, whatever it was, for the Marlins? My goodness, it could be make that lineup even better and even more breathtaking to watch.
You and I have a lot of friends who are Mets fans. I must admit I have a special affection for them because of how they torture themselves. But Tim, this weekend, it felt like a worst case scenario for the Mets fans, you know, and the heels of Marcus Stroman going down, Edwin Diaz blows a save, and then on Sunday, Rick Porcello, one of the guys who's got to be a starter that they rely on, just gets pounded by the Braves.
Yeah, and, you know, they have a good hitting team, Buster, and they didn't do anything, basically, all weekend. That was a bit of a surprise. You know, Jeff McNeil, you know, the Polar Bear, they're off to a slow start. That's all going to turn. These guys are too good. But yeah, but the Edwin Diaz, he gave up more homers in the ninth inning last year, Buster, than any pitcher has ever given up in the ninth inning in any season in history. And after that encouraging relief appearance on opening day, to give up a homer in the ninth again to Ozuna to get that game tied, and then they lost. That was not a good weekend for the Mets. I think they'll turn it because I think they're going to start to swing the bats, but boy, with Marcus Stroman hurt, that was not a good weekend at Citi Field.
Shohei Ohtani yesterday makes his first start, and for Tim, for me, big red flags. His first two starts in the summer camp, he really struggled with his command. He was better in his third time out. Yesterday, he couldn't throw strikes. I think, only 15 of the 30 pitches he threw. He didn't record an out, and this one jumped out at me. He didn't throw a splitter. That was the pitch that, you know, when we talked about how great he might be, the fact that he didn't attempt a single splitter raises some questions for me.
Yeah, I mean, when he's at his best, Buster, he's upper 90s and a great split. And he wasn't upper 90s and didn't throw a split. It's just another reminder, Buster, how hard it is to get through Tommy John. Jason Mott told me years ago, he said, it took a good 2 years before I felt even close to normal, a good 2 full years. And he goes, it was really 3 years where I felt like I had the life back in my arm. And then you throw in that Ohtani is, you know, he's got a country on his shoulders and he's a designated hitter and he's trying to be a number three hitter for a contending team. And he's trying to bring his arm back. This is just another reminder of why we don't have more two-way players. It's really hard. And when you get hurt, And you're trying to rehab it while you're playing another position that makes it hard. I say they keep trying on the two-way thing, but once they realize he'll never be the same in one or the other, they're going to have to make a decision.
So I'm going to make a case that right now, besides Gerrit Cole, Shane Bieber's the best pitcher in the American League. Tim, on Friday night, he threw 6 innings. He struck out 14. And, you know, this is someone who was considered to be, a decent prospect coming up through the Indians organization. He had this really nice slider, and then his fastball got better, and then he added a curveball, and then he added a cutter to work to play off his slider. And last year, Carl Willis, their pitching coach, told me this the other day in a telephone conversation. Shane Bieber was working on a changeup, and the last strikeout he got the other day was against Alex Gordon of the Royals. Tim, it was one of the most ridiculous changeups that I've ever seen. And, you know, Carl Willis talked about how Shane Bieber's, the maturity that he has at age 25 goes well beyond his years. And the work ethic, we wondered last year, where he was going when he had an excellent season, MVP of the All-Star game. But now to see him in that first start, you're like, man, he is ready to take off.
Right. And Buster, there were reasons that the Indians traded Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer. But the biggest reason was they had Mike Clevinger, and more important, they had Shane Bieber, who is just tremendous. As we know, no one's ever allowed no runs and struck out 14 on opening day. That's what he did, and it was dominant. But he was dominant a whole bunch of times last year, and it's hard to disagree with what you said. From what we've seen so far, he's as good as there is in the American League.
Last one, I wrote about this yesterday in my column about how much the players are missing the fans. Look, we know that the fans missed the players during the shutdown. They were starved for baseball, and now they're getting to watch games. Tim, I think the players, we're finding out that they're missing the fans as much or more than the fans have missed the players. I exchanged text messages with Ross Stripling of the Dodgers, direct messages with Shane Bieber, and they talked about when they walked out for their pregame warmups, how different it was, how they noticed it right away, that normally, during any other season, when they walked out of the dugout to do the pregame routine, they'd hear fans along the foul lines call out to them, yell at them if they were the road pitcher, or cheer them, or ask for an autograph. And Ross Stripling said, you got your butterflies, like, right away, and you're building into that, and that's not there now. And I wonder if the group that's going to be most affected by this are the position players. We talked about this on our Sunday night broadcast last night. Alex Rodriguez thinks this is absolutely going to be the case. And you think about how players have constantly borrowed energy from fans and anxiety and adrenaline and focus during the course of the game. Tim, I saw some horrific mistakes over the weekend. For example, the Dodgers had 4 base runners cut down with stupid mistakes in the first 5 innings on Saturday. I'm sure you saw the Cubs and Brewers and that botched rundown that the Cubs attempted against the Brewers. Just a lot of things going on. I saw players seemingly forgetting how many outs there were. And I think a lot of that is that they don't have that extra layer of accountability and adrenaline coming from the stands.
Yeah, and I did opening night Dodgers-Giants, and the Giants just played terribly. They ran the bases terribly. They ran a rundown in an awful fashion. They missed a cutoff man, allowed the trail runner to move up. I mean, again, this is a truncated summer camp, not enough exhibition games, everything. And I've said this for years, Buster, off tangent here a little bit, but base running is the worst I've ever seen it. I say it every single game I do, something happens like that. And now it's exacerbated by the fact that there aren't enough people keeping you in line. I miss the fans tremendously. And that's the number one thing that I see when I do a game or watch a game, is just how quiet everything is. And you're right. Maybe some of that is affecting the players and they're just not as focused as they should be.
All right, Tim. Well, good to talk with you. Stay safe.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Buster. Thank you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Numbers Game.
Sarah Lang's a reporter and a producer for MLB.com. And Sarah, you are as baseball crazy as anyone I know in my lifetime. And I actually thought about you over the weekend, about how you probably were almost overwhelmed by the joy of being able to sit down and go wall-to-wall baseball on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. You described it perfectly. It's like a good overwhelmed, but there's definitely an overwhelmed of like, I need to be seeing every game right now. How many screens can I pull up? I don't want to miss one Rio Ruiz at bat. I don't want to miss Renato Nunez. I'm giving a lot of shout outs to the Orioles for Taylor right here. But I don't want to miss anything. And it was so exciting. And I think I managed to pretty much not miss anything, which I'm pretty proud of.
Yeah, you were like a kid on Halloween and you ate every bit of candy you could get your hands on.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so we're going to play the numbers game. Here's the thing, though. Taylor, you know, is the vacationing, traveling producer that we have, and he doesn't have access to your typical sounder. So, Taylor, you're going to have to come in and replicate the 3-2-1 countdown on the numbers game, okay?
I think I can do that. And I'm going to blame it on Troy Farkas. He didn't put those clips in the system. So, Troy.
Okay.
Ooh.
There you go.
Tough one.
Yeah, so, you can start with number three.
Number three.
Number three is three. So, 2020 is the first MLB season without a team starting 3-0 since 1954. And it's the first one without a team starting 0-3 since 1961. And if you put both of those together, so we don't have a team that's 3-0 or 0-3, first time that both of those has happened in the same season since 1953. And I think this just gets to the point that we were all sort of anticipating with this season that there's going to be a lot of parity. We're going to have teams really knotted up. I know it's only a couple of games. This might not be true in 2 weeks, but even this early on, the fact that this hasn't happened in this long means that September could be a lot of fun.
Number two.
Number two is four. So Nelson Cruz had four extra base hits yesterday, two homers and two doubles, becoming the second oldest player in the modern era to have at least four extra base hits in a game. He's 40 years old and 25 days yesterday, behind just Ricky Henderson on April 7th, 1999. And he's also the fourth oldest with seven or more RBI in a game since the stat became official in 1920. The only ones who were older than him were Stan Musial in 1961, Jason Giambi in 2011, and Reggie Jackson in 1986.
Number one.
Number one is 211. So Mike Trout yesterday, in his 211th career plate appearance in a 3-0 count, hit a home run. His second ever hit in a 3-0 count and the first time he'd ever homered. The other was a single in 2015. It was just the sixth time he put a ball in play on a 3-0 count. And it was the first time he swung 3-0 since 2016. He fouled a ball off against Sean Manaea back in September 2016.
So, Sarah, because you watch a lot of games, I was going to run this past you. I wrote a column on Sunday about how I really feel like that one of the biggest adjustments for that's going to happen in this 2020 season is players trying to adapt without the borrowed energy from fans. And I got to tell you, in the games that I saw, man, there were so many mistakes made defensively, base running, all that kind of stuff. And I know, you know, you didn't have a regular spring training. There hasn't been the regular preparation. But I really believe that at least some of it you can attribute it to the lack of focus among the players because they're not being held to account. And I don't mean that in a negative way, by fans on a minute-to-minute basis. What do you think of my theory? Do you agree with me that it was ragged?
Yeah, I definitely felt like just anecdotally, it seemed like there were a lot of errors. I feel like the Nationals-Yankees game on Saturday, it felt like there were a ton of errors and a lot of other games I saw that happening. I definitely think that could be part of it. You know, you don't have the pressure. You don't know that 50,000 or 40,000 people are staring at you and hoping that you don't screw up. And I also think that, you know, just to the point of not having the crowd there, I thought it was really interesting on Saturday when the Cubs and Brewers got into it a little bit. And Craig Counsell said that he thought part of it is that you can hear every single thing the other dugout is saying. And we know the players can hear each other on the field to an extent, but not to the extent that they currently are typically. And so I think that it's definitely having an effect on the game. I mean, ultimately, the teams that are going to win are going to win. But I do think that you can see some tangible evidence of something from that.
Yeah, Chipper Jones said on the broadcast, it was on Friday, Jeff McNeil, there was a ground ball to the left side. Jeff McNeil broke from second base. It was a terrible base running decision. He got thrown out at third base easily. And Chipper mentioned right away, and this is someone who's in the Hall of Fame, he goes, oh, my God, if there are fans in the stands, that trip back to the dugout would have been brutal. Well, yeah. There isn't that sort of instant feedback now, and I wonder if, you know, the players are at times are going to have some difficulty sort of ratcheting up the adrenaline that they're used to playing with. All right, Sarah, thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for Monday. First up, let's talk to our guy, Ian Lenahan at Ian Lenahan. He writes in, with all the rule changes in baseball, is it time to look at how the win is awarded? We got a couple questions like this. Relievers being given a win for one inning of work when a starter may have thrown five or six innings of shutout ball makes no sense anymore.
Yeah, I do think they probably, if they want to keep the win as as a valued stat, they do need to adjust the rules. Maybe award wins for any starting pitcher going four innings. But I got to tell you, generally speaking, within the sport, I don't think players care nearly as much about wins as they used to. And I'm not talking about the win or loss in a game. I'm talking about the pitchers getting credited with a win. I think largely the mindset, well, I know the mindset of front offices is they don't care about it at all. Players care about it a little bit, but I think it's trending toward not caring about it at all, even among players.
Interesting. PK Steinberg writes in, what are you hearing about the balls after this weekend? Juiced? Question mark.
Juiced, no question. You know, I heard a lot about that from folks going into it. And I actually emailed Sarah over the weekend to ask her about, you know, what the early evidence was. She mentioned the first couple days that the home run numbers were down slightly from last year. But a lot of the underlying statistics indicated that, yeah, the ball's just flying.
Kevin Seipolt writes in, with a new playoff structure in 2020, do you see any division possibly sending four teams to the playoffs? If so, which one and why?
I think of the National League East. When you're talking about the defending champion Nationals, you're talking about the Mets, you're talking about the Phillies, you're talking about the Atlanta Braves who've won that division the last couple of years. That, to me, is the most likely group.
Last one up, John Richter at Richtersaurus. He writes in, facing the juggernaut of AL East and NL East teams, what are the odds the Baltimore Orioles crack double-digit wins in 2020? The disrespect, Buster. They are one-fifth of the way there. 2-1, baby. Let's go.
John, I couldn't imagine having uttered this sentence in 2020. The first place, Baltimore Orioles.
Hell
and
yeah.
So at the moment, I almost feel like I shouldn't address that question. How are you feeling, Taylor, about that?
I mean, they're gonna win 10 games. Come on. That's, you know, it's probably all going to collapse. It was just, you know, a series that they just happened to win. Obviously, I don't think that's going to hold throughout the season, but they're going to win 10 games. That seems like it should be easy enough.
Yeah, I think they'll win 10 games. But I feel like even today, I shouldn't even have the conversation about how bad the Orioles are, because they're the first place Orioles in the American League East.
Let's go. Taking down the Red Sox. Lots of snarky. You know I don't like snarky Red Sox fans. Lots of them were upset this weekend, so that brought me joy.
All right. That's it for today. My thanks to Tim, to Sarah, and to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color, something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.